Hey guys, I'm Misfit.
And I am Mayhem.
Welcome to the Shit Show, where we dive deep into our emotions and get down to the nitty-gritty of what runs through our minds on a daily basis.
And where we will speak and touch base on how to develop healthy ways to gain confidence and develop simple yet complex ways to raw dog your emotion.
This is Misfit.
And Mayhem go raw.
On our little rocket ship, zooming through the skies.
Little lines. Everybody that is listening, we're switching our days. So Tuesdays, we are going to be, you said Fridays, right?
Friday.
Yeah. Due to lovely personal life changes. That is the day that I have opened to being able to do such things. So, sorry for the lateness on this podcast, because it's probably going to be late this week.
It's okay. If you invite us, you should automatically assume we're going to be late.
Very much.
I'll be in a bad way.
You will either be on time or late. The only time I am ever early is when it comes to work. Full-time job. That's the only time. If I'm not 15 minutes early, I'm late.
Same. When I work, I know exactly what you're talking about. What did we want to talk about?
Yeah, there's so many different things that we could go over.
What's on our agenda?
What was the conversation we had earlier today that we said we were going to talk
about? Oh, shit.
My brain is not working.
We talk about so much, sometimes our conversations bleed together. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what we were speaking of.
Right.
Because we were talking about so much.
It had to do with Facebook posts. What did I post on Facebook? That's what we can do. Post on my Facebook. I posted a lot tonight.
Oh, about commitment?
There was that.
Because you saw my Facebook post, and then you were like, right afterwards, you know.
There was a couple different quotes. It might actually be helpful to some people, and it might also have us go in a direction that we want to go. There is self-care. We preach that a lot, too.
Yeah.
So, self-care is not just bubble baths and going for massages. It's walking away from people who deeply suck, setting boundaries, and sometimes telling someone to fuck right off.
I like the term deeply sucks.
Yes.
Because it's not insulting. It's just like you genuinely deeply suck right now.
Right. And it kind of goes along with the question is when it comes to self-care and doing what is best for you. So setting boundaries. The video I posted today, the biggest question that some people really do need to ask themselves, and I used to have to ask myself this all the time, is if somebody does not want you in their life, why do you want to be in theirs?
Excellent question.
And then the last but not least, other quote that hit me hard today, and this is a conversation that I have with a lot of people. Toxic relationships are hard, but do you know what else is hard? Your first healthy relationship after a toxic one. No one talks about how hard it is to unlearn all the toxic behaviors you adapted as coping mechanisms. How hard it is to convince yourself that you are now safe.
I would read my Facebook post out for you, but mine was a little bit rude.
Listen, Sammy, anybody
mine was really fucking rude.
See, I don't think it was necessarily rude, though. But again, that goes back to last week's podcast, where we stated we are only assholes if somebody is offended by it.
We're gonna do it. Lancelot would approve. Full send. Let's go.
I feel some people should probably hear it.
It needs to be said.
Yes.
So fucking loudly.
Yes, it does. Yell it for the people in the back. Make sure you talk loud enough.
All right. So yesterday, I hit Facebook at like 5 p.m. and was pissed off because I'm just flipping through my Facebook feed and I'm flipping through TikTok and I thought this whole "I could take your man if I want you" trend has Sammy, you know, really pissed off.
I hate that.
So my post states, "I am fine, but I am about to rant right quick. I almost never do because, like, honestly, what is the point? If I see one more 'I can take your man if I want to' trend on Facebook or on TikTok, listen, ladies, oh, and gentlemen, name Sammy, everyone can get these hands. Never in my life have I seen girls, and I am gonna be honest, ladies, this is a bigger trend for the girls. Fucking stop. It's gross. It's disgusting. I put a pukey face emoji. Can't leave that out. Context clues are important when reading a story. Y'all want to complain about how relationships are falling apart and love isn't what it used to be, but be so quick to overlook that the internet has made it way too easy to be silently liking some booty pictures or some cut dude selfies. That's why love isn't easy. Love is a choice. You choose your partner. If you don't like them or it's not working, just be honest. It's not that hard. If y'all want to be the generation that destroys trust, loyalty, and love, go for it. I'm not helping. Being fully committed to someone and promising to love them through it all is not a goddamn joke. I curse a lot. I'm sorry, guys. It's not a goddamn joke. It's not something you get to pick up and put down at your convenience. It's a 24/7 gig, twice on holidays. It is... there's a lot of S's. So for both parts that are all I can take your man if I want to, I hope someone walks up to you and whatever you're drinking or holding on to at the time and just all of a sudden smacks it out of your nasty ass hands. I'd be rude for that though, right? 2021. I'd be rude for that, right? 2021. That's rude. 2021, this is how it is. Everyone's so quick to paint a picture as someone is insecure or crazy when y'all can't even honor the first most basic step to being in a committed relationship. It means my eyes, my thoughts, my lust, my frustrations, my happiest, my saddest, my person gets all of that. And you all are out here making it a trend to mentally destroy the one person you promised to protect, to care for, to understand, and you're breaking them on purpose. People, why? Because you're broken? I get homes fall apart, but to show the younger generation that it is a bad bitch thing to do, or a boss bitch thing to do, is it? Is it a fun thing to do for y'all? It's definitely not a decent human thing to do. At me. I don't care. Get blocked. It's fucking disgusting. To act like you benefit from being dishonest or helping destroy the one person they openly made a promise to love and to love forever and never be disloyal to. Because that's the reality, y'all. Girls, guys, women, men out here legit destroying your partner's self-esteem, their drive. And then when there is nothing left, y'all dip over some basic shit. How about instead of I can take your man if I want to, how about you guys go, I can take my ass to a therapist. Nasty shit in parentheses with like 12 puking emojis. Context clues are important. One more person complains to me about their girlfriend tripping or their boyfriend blah, blah, blah. Yo, period. They act this way towards you, fucking leave. They're not worth being broken. Love is the strongest drug in the world and everybody is on it. In parentheses, before anyone asks, I'm fine. Just looking at the world my kids get to be raised in breaks my heart. And as someone that has kids, y'all better raise yours right, because I will light up anyone over mine, and I will raise mine to do the same. Whoever treats them in this demeanor or way, if you can make it cool to traumatize people, so can I. I was really pissed off. Really bad.
So we can go into why people think that that's such like a badass move to do. Being like, I'm hot shit. I can have who the fuck I want, when the fuck I want, even if they're taken. Why do you want to have that type of attitude? I get confidence, but that's where confidence and arrogance are two different fucking things. You can have a lot of different people, doesn't always mean that you can have the one that you want. Because if they're taken and they're loyal and they ain't gonna do some dumb shit, you can't have them, no matter what you can show them. Because at the end of the day, the grass ain't greener on the other side. The grass is green where you water it.
You can take them. I promise you bring them back. You will bring them right fucking back. This whole trend you guys are on, you guys are ruining people's self-esteem, including your own. I don't care how bad of a bitch you think you are. If you are sexually giving yourself to a man, you have fucking emotions for him, you twat waffles. Stop fucking putting up a bullshit screen. If you are intimately engaging in somebody's life, that matters. And if these two people are in a matrimony, because that's what it is, that's what marriage is supposed to be, when I sign up to be in a committed relationship with you, I am promising to love you no matter what. Only death can change that. And even after death, I promise to love you. Y'all say vows when you get married. If you're not married and you're in a committed relationship, there's no ring. There is nothing there that is binding you to that person. So why mistreat them?
My personal idea when it comes to marriage is marriage is a piece of paper. Why should the piece of paper be the thing that changes the relationship?
Yeah,
if you want to be with someone for the rest of your life, you don't need a piece of paper to tell you that. I know people that have been together 10, 15 plus years, 25 years, that never needed a paper to prove their love and prove that they wanted to be with somebody.
Yeah.
That they wanted to be with that person for their life. Marriage is for the actual paper is just to state when you go places, when you do things.
Which that, I think is just so unneeded. It's a title. It's just a piece of paper. And this is, in my head, I'm already married. That's why I get so offended when somebody oversteps or somebody doesn't respect my other half, because in my head, I am already supposed to be with this person for the rest of my life. That piece of paper does nothing except for change my last name to his.
And even then, technically, I believe that you can get your name changed regardless and still share the same last name without the marriage certificate. But I get that obviously everybody has different views on this. I'm pretty open to conversations on why you think the way you do, why you believe that's so important. Personally to me, I think the ring signifies more than the piece of paper does.
Yeah, because the ring is actual visual barrier, like visual promise. That is, that it is something you wear on you to signify your vow to the other person.
Right, because I would have a wedding ceremony. If I am with the person that I am supposed to be with for the rest of my life, and they stated, I don't want to sign the piece of paper to prove that we're together.
Okay.
I'd be fine just wearing the ring. We can still have a commitment ceremony or a wedding, because a wedding is different than a marriage.
Yes.
A wedding is the ceremony. The marriage is the paper.
Most people don't know that.
I actually learned that not too long ago. I never really looked too much into it, never really thought a whole lot about it, but I did learn recently. Again, that can go into a lot of different views on a lot of people. This is me personally, not hating anybody that thinks differently than I do. The biggest commitment is the loyalty, is the communication, is the comprehension that we have between each other. And then if we want to signify and show that we're in this for the long haul, we can wear the rings. We can have a ceremony to show this and celebrate this without having a piece of paper telling us otherwise.
Exactly. To me, I'm the same way. Same way.
I've seen so many people go through divorces and spend a ton of money, and I've seen some of these people get back together. And at the end of it, if those two people end up back together, you just spend thousands of dollars. Thousands.
My
to get
boy.
Back together.
Why even
for a
do
piece
it?
Of paper.
Why even do it? And see, that situation is exactly why I went off yesterday on Facebook. Why? What is the point of you being disloyal to your person when you know in your heart of hearts that you really love that person? When you're mad, it is the hardest to stay loyal to somebody. Because when you are angry, you have similar emotions. There are envy, anger, spiteful, like hate. Those are normal emotions to have when that... Those are normal. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm too good to get jealous. Nope, I get jealous. I'm territorial too, which doesn't help. Which means not only am I jealous sometimes, I'm protecting what's already mine. Yeah.
How do I want to put this? Because it's not that.
I don't want to say I'm jealous. I get what you're saying, because I'm not.
I was going to say, like, I don't want to say that I'm a jealous person. I have insecurities, and sometimes they get the best of me, yes, because I'm scared to lose what I have. It's not that I'm jealous, because I could give two flying fucks who you're talking to. If you're friends with them and I trust you, I don't give a shit. If they've never caused no problems, if they don't try to cause no problems, I don't give a shit. If they tried to cause problems and you didn't shut that shit down, that's where I give a shit. That's where I care.
That is very...
That's why it's
to
not...
me, it's so wrong. To me, it's hard for me to put myself in the other shoe and be like, hey, you know, this is how I would react, because I would never be put in that situation.
I'll give two flying fucks what the other person says, unless that person is still around after
said, yeah,
after issues. Say that there's a person, I'm dating someone. There's another girl in the picture that's a best friend.
Okay.
Okay, cool, whatever. I don't really care. But they know that, like, me and said person are together. And they come in and they start in with the super flirty comments, things that are over the line for what they should be as a best friend. Especially if you know said person's in a committed relationship. I don't give two flying fucks at that point what the person's saying. I want to know what you're saying. I want to know what you're doing. Are you trying to shut that shit down? Because if you're not trying to shut the shit down, we got a big problem on our hands and I ain't going to fucking trust you.
If they're flirting with you and you're entertaining it, because let me explain something to you. You can shut it down and still be friends with that person that crossed that line and be like, hey, you don't know, committed a relationship. Okay, if they respect it afterwards, okay with that.
It's their warning.
It's their warning. Hey, you didn't know. I can't hurt you. Now you know. You step over that line again, then we have an issue. It's how you react to that person communicating with you. No, I know you cannot control what comes out of somebody else's mouth. In episode 2, we explained to you guys, you can only control how you react to said situation. Personally, if they're doing that to you and they're crossing that line, to me, then you have no reason to stay. The disrespect is so loud and in your face, you are ignorant for staying and ignoring it.
Yes. And I will give a person a second chance. So first time I have to say something, it's a warning. Or first time my significant other has to say something, it's a fucking warning to this person. If they come back and re-disrespect and re-step over that line, I don't care. If you shut that shit down and be like, look, if this is the first time they say it, it should pretty much be a, hey, you know I'm in a relationship. You step over this line again, then I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to tell somebody to sit there and say that. Me, personally, I've been in that situation where one of my friends did step over the line at one point. They knew I was talking to somebody. They didn't know how serious it was. They wanted to test that limit. I was just like, you sit there and say that again to me, I ain't going to talk to you, because I don't care if I'm just talking to a person or if there is a motherfucking title on it.
That person I am has acting, my whole attention.
Yes, I am acting the same way regardless. If they try to disrespect that line again, they know they're getting cut off.
Yeah.
They know damn well I give them that warning. This is your one and only warning. You do it again, I'm cutting you off. I'll block your number. I don't give a shit.
I just want to see our generation be able to do it. Like, that's why I'm right. So bad. And I went off so bad yesterday because I just like, I'm watching people ruin what love is. Love is a choice. It's not an emotion.
And that's,
you feel it, but love is a fucking choice. It's not something that you, I'm sorry, it is. Like, you can't control who you love, but at the end of the day, you can always choose who you're in a relationship with.
I see love as, it is a choice to a certain degree is how I see it. Love is multiple emotions put together, but it's also the mentality of, even if I don't like you, I still love you and I'm willing to work through this.
Yeah, a better way of explaining it would be like, soulmates are not born, they're made.
Yes. Yes. Did you hear actually the new song
that's going to
be coming out?
I just loved it. It's not even mine, but it matches. So, it's so on point, man. Soulmates are...
Spencer Crandall, I believe, is the one that is making that, and it comes out the 18th, and I am so fucking excited. I am so excited for that song.
Because it is exactly why, that is the whole reason I went off yesterday. Yeah. You guys are wanting this romanticized ideal of being in love with somebody. And unfortunately, the loving, that is all fine and good. It's great when it's happy. There's work involved in it. You don't always wake up liking the person that you're committed to. Sometimes you're going to want to throw a punch them.
And here comes the other thing with toxic versus healthy relationships, which goes into this whole thing. And I guess we're going to start to kind of hit on this time around. We can go in more into details over a few podcasts because it's definitely going to take some time.
A lot.
Attachment issues. Attachment styles. We all have them. We all have different attachment styles. So my main two is avoidant and clingy. I'll cling, but then I become very avoidant and I try to run. I personally did not know this in the past, and I've made the mistakes where I've ran or I've clung too hard to somebody because of that. Here's the thing that most people are looking for and most people don't realize when it comes to attachment styles. Love is boring. Love isn't supposed to be the butterflies that you get in your stomach, because that's anxiety. That is your attachment issues screaming at you. And
did I do it?
Right. And it wasn't until a point when I ran from somebody and then I started doing the research on this. I believe there are 4 or 5 different attachment styles. And that's when I was going through it and I was listening to all of the different attachment styles that there are. And I was just like, motherfucker. Like, yeah, this is what I've been doing. I started going through every relationship that I had in my past. And I was just like, the butterflies were the anxiety. And it's like, if you have clingy attachment styles, we'll say this.
Right.
Or why it's even mommy daddy issues, which are different attachment styles in themselves as well. If somebody is giving you affection and then they have the avoidant attachment issue, a part of you is still seeking validation and still chases them because you need to show them that you're good enough. When you inside of you, you need to feel good enough. You need to feel good enough about yourself to understand that you don't need to chase this person. If somebody's running from you, let them run. Let them run.
They'll come back.
Yeah, because if it's just an attachment issue for them, they're going to come back. You got to come home sometime.
If they live with you.
Don't worry.
Sorry, guys.
Don't worry. I'll be sitting here on my couch just waiting for you. Your feet are going to get tired.
Yeah, not wrong.
One of the things that I used to do, and that was the issues inside of myself, a couple of my exes, I can't even say just one. There was mainly two of them. They sat there and everything was good. Everything was golden, going great. Then all of a sudden, they started running. We were still dating, but they were running. So they stopped texting. They stopped calling. They stopped showing up. What did I do? I kept chasing. I kept trying to push it. I kept trying to sit there and see them whenever the fuck I could. They'd come up with every excuse in the book. That was attachment issues. Now, when we did split up, there was still a part of me that constantly held on to them. Being like, why the fuck am I not good enough? I didn't do anything wrong. They didn't say I did anything wrong. I sat there and texted them months after we split up, being like, I need to know what the fuck I did. I don't know what I did. What is so wrong with me that you did that to me? They never had an answer. I'd get left on red, and it would drive me more insane. I fought myself on so many occasions to message them, and it had nothing to do with them. And it wasn't until I started researching attachment issues did I realize why I did that. It was seeking the idea that I thought that they didn't think I was good enough, and I needed the reason.
Validation.
It's the validation of whether knowing you are or not.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem.
Which, because I have anxiety, that in itself, anticipation, I'm one of those people where you're like, hey, what's up? And I answer you and I'm like, hey, what's up? And you leave me on red, I'm going to die.
I hate being left on red.
You cannot do that to me. And I, for all my friends that listen to this podcast, I hope you know, for all the times you've done it to me, you've fucking killed me. Because I'm one of those people where I will binge watch 18 seasons of a fucking TV show in a week because I get so committed to the answer.
Thing way too hard right now because of the whole thing left on red. So we all got things we gotta work on. Being okay with being left on red is one of them. Because here's the thing. Here's the worst thing. This is how bad I do not like being left on red. Unless the conversation is legitimately over, then I don't give two flying
fucks.
I've been looking at new cars.
Right.
And I have an iPhone. And the sales guy had an iPhone. And he had his motherfucking red receipts on.
Bitch, I know you've seen my message and you're ignoring my ass. See, that's the shit I'm talking about. That shit is... What?
Didn't freak out on him. But I was sitting here and I was talking to a couple people and I was like, I'm trying to buy cars. And I was sitting there. We were in the middle of a conversation. Motherfucker. Like, I understand you're busy, but it's been almost 24 hours since you opened up my message and did not say a damn motherfucking thing. So I ended up calling the car place, right? Motherfucker's on vacation.
Why are you even talking? That is so frustrating for me. And I don't freak out externally. So I imagine it's kind of me, why people call me crazy, because I look very calm probably during this process. In my brain, I'm going, and like setting the trash cans on fire and breaking the fucking windows and being like, talk to me, bitch. it's a interrogation situation. I now have you mentally in a chair, like, take me to your leader, like, give me the fucking, just tell me what you, why? And so much commitment to the answer. So much. It's so hard.
The only time I normally leave people on red is if I feel the conversation's over. If it's a like, hey, how you doing? I'm good. You? I'm good. And there's nothing.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking like full-blood, middle conversation. You've been going back and forth with me and like, you just out of nowhere, you're just like, done. And you don't talk to me until like the next day. Like, hey, homie, you asked me what my favorite color was and it's tomorrow. So now it's fuck off.
I asked you why and you didn't respond. Why? Why?
I was that kid, though. Most of my tics in my relationship, this is why it's hard to be in a committed relationship with me, they do not come across as, like, insecurities. For some reason, they always come across as, like, how to word this without it seeming like I'm just a fucking pud knocker. they come out angry.
See, and here's my thing when it comes to that. I
get frustrated. Easy.
I get annoyed. Because, like, if I'm in the middle of a conversation with you and you open it up, that's the thing that annoys me. The middle of the conversation ones. Other than that, I really don't give two flying fucks. Yeah. Or if I know you're, like, super, super busy and maybe it was, like, right after I sent it, it already says open.
Yeah.
Or they could have had their phone open, but I'll wait. I don't like double texting unless it's a constant joke between two people. I do not like double texting. Or if we're in the middle of a conversation, I thought of something else that had to go on with the conversation that we're having, then I'll double text. But if it's like a, hey, how you doing? What's going on with blah, 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 blah. And I see that you opened it and you didn't respond. I'll wait. So even though it drives me nuts that you left me on red, I'll sit there and wait until you finally message me.
You ask me a question, or I ask you a question. Those are the ones that make me mad, too. That's funny you say that, because that's a whole different anger issue. When you're talking to me, and then I ask you a question, and then you stop talking to me, it's because you didn't want to answer my fucking question. No other reason. You just, bring your dumb ass back here. Like, you just... I just asked you, you're just fine, you're telling me about your life, and I'm like, hey, who's gonna be at the party? Now you don't speak English? Odd. Those are red flags, so if
no
they're
stickers,
not red,
no stickers for you, no golden stars, fuck off.
Like, I'm just that type of person. I get shit pops up, I'm not a sociopath, I have a busy life too. So, like, I'm not super clingy, but if you dip off, and it's very obvious why you're dipping off, you're gonna have to deal with me again. What am I, like, a shadow? You're gonna have to come talk to me again. Eventually. Specifically if you're an important person in my life.
See, the only other times that I don't give a shit if somebody doesn't respond to me is when I'm expecting them not to respond to me.
Yeah.
So if we're in the middle of a conversation and I call you out on some bullshit and you just leave me on red, you'll message me when you please, when you're not angry with me anymore. Have a good day. Exactly. You gotta think about that one.
Because I am hard to be with. And, like, I know that. I can hear what's coming out of my mouth. I know I'm an asshole.
I think about
how
it.
How is that overlooked? Like, dude, I hate when people do that to me. Out of, like, you know, be self-aware. That's important. This is what the whole podcast is about. I'm gonna explain something to all the people that think that they are telling me a bit of information when they tell me I'm an asshole. I have lived with myself for 27 years. I know I'm an asshole. So when you're like, hey, you're being an asshole. I know. I don't care. If you did something to warrant it.
Yeah. If I am a legitimate asshole to somebody, it is well deserved. I am generally a very nice person with a lot of patience until you piss me off.
Same.
And then if you get that side, that's a whole different side that normally not many people have seen.
I don't like that side.
If it gets
neither.
Because even when I'm blunt, I still don't come off as an ass. I say these things because I care.
I don't know if I'm an asshole. I just have had so many people tell me I'm an asshole that's gotta be what it is.
That just also could be their own issues inside of their head. Something you said offended them. Something you said hurt. Because you can be blunt and hurt somebody and not hurt somebody. Hurt their feelings a little bit. Unintentionally hurt them. If you're intentionally hurting somebody, then you're an asshole. But if you're saying it to try to help them and you're just being blunt about it and it ends up hurting their feelings, it's not being an asshole.
Well, at that point, that's what communication is key, because like, you never communicate to me that you have this emotion, that that upsets you. How am I supposed to not offend you?
Right.
You gotta tell me you're offendable. That way I don't offend you. You want to start? I'm going to need a disclaimer from all sensitive people.
Just say I'm offendable.
You know, it could be a hand signal. It could be like, squeeze your hand together 3 times, blink twice. Just let me know what's up, because I come off very strong. Yeah. Very strong opinion.
See, yeah, that's why you and I get along. I come off very nice, but still very blunt, which is why you and I are one and the same, but still, again, very different, just like we went over in the last one. I don't come off as an asshole. I come off as that, like, I'm super nice. I'm doing this to help you out. I'm not trying to be a dick about it, where the personas are different. It's the same. We could be saying the same thing, but you would sound like a dick and I would just be like, oh, you're just.
And I promise it's just because I have that bit of ugh. I think it's the voice.
Yeah, it's the voice.
I talk like a thug. I don't give a fuck. It's where I was raised.
I talk like I've worked in retail my whole life.
I grew up in the back of a kitchen. So it's like, have you ever seen Waiting? I recommend you watch it before trying to become my friend. Because that was my childhood.
We got so off topic from what we were even talking about. But Ravers! Ravers, let's go back.
But we're really not, because it all goes within your love life.
It does. The biggest thing, as we start getting on, is attachment styles. And the whole, I can take a man if I want to. I really am genuinely curious on why people have that mentality a lot of the time. I feel like it has a lot to do with seeking validation and trying to hide the insecurities that you actually have.
I have found, shout out to all the ones that did that trend, I stalked you afterwards to see how your relationship was before you started your I can take a man if I want to shit. Just because a bitch took your man does not mean you can take another's. That is not how that works.
If somebody's already taken, I don't want them. Here's the other thing. Why, again, this goes back to my question earlier. If somebody doesn't want you in their life, why would you want them in yours? Why would you want to be in theirs? So here's the thing. If you see somebody that is in a committed relationship with another person, and you come in with the attitude of, I can take your man if I want to. If you can take him, why the fuck would you want him? Because he's probably going to do the same thing to you until he fixes himself that you just had him do to the other one. Or
right
vice
there.
Versa.
If he'll do it to her to get with you, then they will do it to you to get with someone else.
Unless they have physically worked on themselves and have gotten past their attachment issues. Validation issues, self-confidence issues, generational trauma issues. So many things go into the way that this world is working when it comes to how we treat each other. And it makes me sad. It genuinely makes me sad. I see a lot of it. There's a lot of generational trauma. One of the other things that you and I have randomly hit up on, even when it goes into generational trauma. A lot of the things that you have a problem with, even down to your attachment issues, go back to your childhood.
Oh, tenfold.
A lot of the things that you sat there and watched as a child have affected you.
And you don't know how much.
And whether you want to believe it or not. So, bigger things that you can point out, or I can point out, that do affect other people. Because there's two ways that normally we tend to be. We're either exactly like our parents or the exact opposite of our parents. There's really never a huge in-between sometimes.
Hey,
rarely is there an actual in-between those two things. You either choose to be like them or you choose to be the opposite of them. Now, when it does come to that, we're going to switch this up a bit. Because we normally talk, obviously, we're two women here. But I like to kind of mix it up a little bit because I've seen it happen. Say that mama over there is beating daddy.
Yeah, there you go. I like that angle. Let's get the boys.
And you got a little girl that's sitting there watching you beat her dad. Now he takes it. He doesn't fight back because he was taught not to fight back. He was taught not to hit a girl. What do you think that daughter's going to grow up doing?
Beating ass. Just being honest.
Especially the guys that she gets in a relationship with. They don't give her what she wants. She goes some beat them. Now, vice versa, daddy beats mommy. You have a little boy, even sometimes a little girl. Most of the time it ends up being a little boy when it comes to something like that is... Little boy grows up, knows both of these two, whether guy or girl, both of these two know it's not okay to beat other people. But when they get angry, what'd they watch growing up? And they don't understand why they end up blacking out and why they do the things that they do. Cause you watched it stuck in your head.
Yeah, you're blacking out and you're just muscle memory in it, in a way, if that makes.
And resentment from your parents or even your grandparents, whoever taught you these things, aunts, uncles. Any of these people have an effect on you. Now, it goes into mental emotional abuse as well. If mama's sitting there gaslighting daddy every day, cheating on him every day, daddy stays, what's that teaching your kiddos? Stay in a relationship where you're treated like shit.
Even when they give you signals to leave. Because if that person is looking at you and disrespecting you, if they're, oh, I hate you, oh, I can't stand you, oh, shut the fuck up. Oh, da, 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 da. That is them letting you know they don't want to be with you. I don't want to break your heart, but that is what it is. And that moment, they mean that. When you get angry, that is a sincere emotion.
And going, and when it comes back to attachment issues, which all of this still goes around self-confidence and how you feel about yourself. If you're sticking around people that treat you like shit, I guarantee that your self-confidence is a lot lower than what it could be. When it comes to staying in these, is that if you choose to stay, it could be taught that you were taught how to stay when you were younger. Me personally, I'm trying to teach my daughter. She sat there and asked me in past relationships, Mommy, I thought you were going to be with them forever. I said that. I told her, you'll never have to stay in a place where you're not happy. You can always leave.
That's why love, and that's why you're the whole self-confidence. That's why that is so important that comes into play, because I can honestly say that I have kids, and no, I am not with their fathers. My youngest, I am with his father. But I still want to see the other ones be happy. I want them to find love. I want my kids to see their dad, not baby daddy, dad, father of my child, not a baby daddy, succeed in life. I want to see him find love. I want them to be able to see him find that. In the first 5-6 years of a kid's life, that is where they get their examples of love, loyalty, trust, understanding, sympathy, empathy. Like, it's all within that first couple. So what you're saying is very important in your day.
And I know that a lot of people that I know stay in relationship with the baby mom or the baby dad because A, they're either too scared that they might lose that kid, or B, they don't want that kid growing up in a broken home. But here is the thing. If you are in a mentally, physically, or emotionally abusive relationship with the other parent, you are teaching your kids to stay in abusive relationships. And that is something that you have to hold yourself accountable for. Because as much as that other parent can potentially be fucking them up while fucking you up, you are fucking your own kids up by staying. As much as you don't want that broken home mentality, but I'll tell you, I am a product of a divorced family, of a quote-unquote broken family. My parents split up when I was a senior in high school. I watched that shit. And the one thing that I always said was, I'd rather leave when they're younger than when they're older and they understand. Because I will tell you from personal experience, if I knew the way that it was and this is what was going to happen, I would have told them to leave sooner so they could have been happy.
And that's the reality of it. Because at the end of the day, if you're a kid in that situation watching it from the inside out, I can only imagine, I didn't have the best home life as a kid. My parents are still together to this day. How? I have no idea. Both sides of the fence is just rocky, shaky, very insecure, very unself-aware. That was my example growing up, was to stay even when it's broken, was to stay even when miscommunicating, was to stay even after disrespect, was to stay even after cheating. Like, that was what I literally watched my parents do to one another.
So subconsciously, you're taught to stay.
Exactly. So I'm taught to cling, to hold on, because that byproduct of my environment growing up is what I am genetically hardwired to fall back on.
And now here's the thing, is you can always, if anybody tells me differently, they're bullshitting, because it is scientifically proven at the same time. you are more than 100% capable of rewiring your brain. Just like the positive and negatives, you can rewire that when it comes down to things like that. Yeah, it might take a hell of a lot longer to do so, especially because of past traumas, but you also have to see where these things come from. Me, my attachment issues come from a lot of different things. I was picked on as a kid.
Yeah.
So the validation to feel like I am good enough, that I am pretty enough, that I do enough. I had always seen as much as I knew love was unconditional, as I was taught that love with conditions. So not so much you have to do this in order for you to show me love. It's that I have to do this, 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 and this, and this, or otherwise I don't deserve your love.
Yes, that's wrong.
So you feel like you never do enough. You were most likely taught to love with conditions.
Yes.
And not that love is unconditional. There are boundaries that you have to set for yourself. When it comes down to it, is you can love through all the ups and downs, all the hard times, as long as both of you two are willing to work through it.
Yeah.
So say that I've seen people do it.
Two people can move a couch real fucking easy. It's hard when one person's trying to move the couch.
And the other one's just supervising. We can even go back to, I know some people love to hold on to the potential of the relationship, even after somebody cheats. Me personally, I can't do that. I walk away. When it comes to the trust, you broke my trust. I don't know how long that would take me to get over, but staying in a relationship with somebody like that, it's not healthy for me. I'd rather walk away. If you want to stay friends, we can stay friends as long as we're still good. You apologize and take accountability, but I cannot physically be with you. I do know people that they have cheated and they were able to do what they needed to do to move forward from that. I'm not saying that that is for everybody. And that is personally, honestly, from what I have seen, a very rare case.
And it takes a lot of work. That's got to be something that you got to have good communication between both sides, because that's a rocky shake to have to be on.
And here's the other thing. Is that the only way I foresee that working in the way that two people would want it to, not just like going to therapy or marriage counseling or whatever the case may be, but y'all, both of you, A, have to dig deep into your past to see where your insecurities are lying, where they're going to be affected in that situation, why said person chose to do that, because the person that was being cheated on, it is not your fucking fault.
No. And that's the hardest part about it, because once that line is crossed, and that's why I say it's so hard to come back from. And if you have two people that are willing to work on it, that's a 24/7 gig trying to patch that hole up afterwards, because once you put disloyalty and dishonesty into play, into a committed relationship, you question everything.
I think way too much.
Everything. At least for me, I do. Because if you're going to lie to me about sleeping with somebody, talking to somebody, texting somebody after you promised to be only committed to me, what else are you willing to do?
So I used to tend to bring that into next relationships, is when somebody cheated. I've been cheated on numerous times. I used to bring that into next relationships because it was a mentality of, I'm not good enough. What did I do wrong? What do I have to do this time not to have them do that? Am I doing that? And that's the thing. It took me, it was within this last year and a half, 2 years, we'll say year and a half, 2 years, that I picked up on that. That I sat there and I looked back on any person that had cheated on me. And I was just like, the amount of different things that you also need to work on. I'm working on myself. I'm doing the work that I need to do.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, is there's a lot of work that they need to do. And that ain't my fault that they chose to do that. I'm sorry that you feel so bad about yourself, that you're seeking validation, that you're trying to fill a void in your life where you have to go out and ruin another person.
More or less. Moral of the story. But because you're just to me, that's just fighting trauma with trauma, which is equaling more trauma.
And the people that go around and be like, oh, they cheated on me, so I did it back. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that?
That's so dirty. Why? And it's just, I can't. Like, and I've tried to be that girl. I ain't proud about admitting it either, but I tried to be that person. In my last relationship, he cheated on me. I don't give a fuck if he admits it either. I know he did. She told me. You know, but I tried to do it back, and I couldn't even do it, dude. I had to break up with him first before I could even try to talk to someone. Just try. Notice I said try to talk to. Because I was so awkward after what I had gone through that I had a whole list of insecurities that now melded with the ones I already had from my childhood. So when I broke it off with my last ex, the day I sat down and I was like, I'm going to be a better person, I didn't realize how much dirty laundry I had to wash. Not until I actually met some people that taught me how people are supposed to treat other people. And I don't want to say it that simply, but that's what it was. I was taught what unconditional love was from a couple people. And now that I can sit and go back through old friendships and old relationships, I can tweak how I reacted in those situations so I don't act that way again. That is the hardest part of, even if you're the cheater, if you're the cheater in that situation,
you should probably work on yourself.
You should probably work on yourself. Hashtag plug. You mad, bro? You should be. Second hashtag plug. You are the issue. So you are now damaging. Not one, not two, because if it's a I can take your man if I want to setting, there's more than likely a family involved. So you want a head count for how many kids are in that household too? How many family members? Because if you think helping somebody be disloyal and tear a family apart, you're affecting both sides' parents, you're affecting both sides' siblings, you're tearing a home apart because there's something wrong within you.
See, and here's
and I don't want to say it that way because it sounds rude. This is fucking you.
Most of the time is the problem isn't with the other person, because I hear it all the time too, is that when it comes to saying, so say that you're with somebody, said person cheated on you, right?
Right.
You tend to be mad at both people though.
But
here's the thing. Here's the thing. And this is what you got to remember. And this
is why. If they didn't know, hold on, let me be clear. If they didn't know about me, I'm not mad at girl.
And that's what I was going to say. A lot of people are instantly, let's jump on the third party person.
No, I'm going instantly to him.
Right. And that's what I do. I called one of mine out and I was just like, you know, if anything, I don't want to know if she knew or not, but if she did, I hope both of you guys end up
feel horrible.
doing what you got to do to work on yourselves to make said decisions like that. But if she doesn't know, either I hope she finds out so she knows who you really are, or you're at least honest enough with her to tell her what you did and how you fucked up.
Yeah, because eventually she's going to figure it out anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Through your and, passive-aggressive insecurities from cheating on your last girlfriend.
And that's why that goes, like I said, that goes into validation, that goes into how good you feel about yourself, that goes into the childhood traumas, the self-confidence in yourself. It goes into a lot of things, but the one thing it never has to do with is the person you are with that got cheated on.
Nope.
The one that got cheated on, if any of y'all are listening and have been cheated on, it is not your fault. I have never heard a single good excuse that somebody could give me on why they would make that decision. I don't care if they cheated on you. It's not a reason to go ahead and cheat back.
Nope.
I don't care what they did to you. That's not a good reason to cheat. Now, here's the thing. If you sit there and tell me, well, they beat me and I was too scared to leave, it's not a good reason. You had every way that you could have still left. Have you had the option to go out and find somebody and do that with them?
Then you had somebody... the option to get up and leave.
Yes.
You made that subconscious decision to destroy another human being from the inside.
No matter what they did to you.
That's, do you understand, if you were cheated on, that's the level of disrespect that person got to, and then they did that to you. Once that disrespect is done, you need to draw that line in the sand. There's no coming back from that unless you work on it. And you can't work on it if you don't address it.
The other real question that I would want to hear answers on, other than your normal, it's hard to get out of mentally abusive relationships or emotionally abusive or even physically. If somebody disrespects you, why do you stay? If
there's
somebody
never a reason for it. Not a good one anyway. You most can never of the give reasons, a good in.
Because most of the reasons, it's not because you love them, it's because of your attachment issues. Most of the reason why you stay, whether it's relationships, friendships, families, when it comes to disrespect, you stay because of the attachment to said person.
Yeah.
But it isn't always love.
Yeah, that's the shitty part about it.
That's the sad part about it, is a lot of people want to use the excuse of, but I love them.
Yeah, first of all, Y'all need to figure out what love actually is.
Don't give me your bullshit.
Y'all fling it around way fucking loosely.
If you're using that as your excuse to stay in a toxic, abusive relationship, or still continue to have the same people in your life that tend to hold you back, if your excuse is, but I love them, I need you to look deeper.
Yeah, I need actual reasons.
You need to look deeper, because most of those reasons are because of childhood traumas, generational traumas, validation issues.
Well, in that situation, if you were, like, say, like, if you were in that situation where you had been cheated on and I was like, wow, or even just disrespected in some way, and I was like, well, why do you stay? And you answered me in the demeanor of, like, I love them. Very vague. That's an auto answer. Do you ever think maybe you don't love them as much as you actually say you do? Because if somebody asks me why I'm staying with my man, I'm going to give you a list of reasons. Detailed, intimate details on why I want to stay, like different levels of it. There's different emotions at play. I love them is no different than you putting K on a text back when you don't want to talk to somebody. It's the same thing. I love them. Or when you're a kid in a situation and you walk up and ask your mom that doesn't want to talk to you, hey mom, can I do, I'll think about it. What does I think about it normally mean, guys? It means no, right? So why does I love them mean anything less? Why I love not? Them. That is a very small four-letter description of why they're with you. Wouldn't you want more?
If somebody tells me that, if I sit there and I see one of my friends being disrespected and I ask them, why do you stay? Why do you still stick around when this is something that's consistent? I'm not talking like that. Something happened one time.
Yeah, no, repetitive offenders.
Yes, this is definitely consistent, repetitive. Is that if I come up to you and I ask you why do you continue to allow them to disrespect you in the way you do, and you say because I love them, I'm going to straight up tell you that you're bullshitting. You need to look a hell of a lot deeper in yourself if you want the real answer to that question, because I don't believe that's it.
No, to me, that's just a smokescreen. Now you see me, now you don't maneuver to get out of talking to me about what I asked you about.
A lot of the time, I will guarantee you that it will probably come down to attachment issues. Clingy, avoidant, mommy-daddy issues.
God help you, you have both. That sucks.
I've dealt with both. Not mommy-daddy issues. More so the clingy and avoidant. I do both.
Funny now, though.
Well, I did. I pay attention to when I'm doing it. Yeah, we funny now. Trauma makes us funny. ADHD. I'm going to go with ADHD makes us funny. Can we go with that? I like that better.
Yeah, I know. But I think scientifically, it's like, it's all the trauma. It's the coping mechanisms for me.
See, and here's the other thing when it comes to attachment issues and attachment styles, if people really do want to look into it further. Oh, attachment issues and styles doesn't necessarily mean that you came from a bad home. You could have a great home. But if there is a shitty-ass work-life balance, that can cause attachment issues. Say that you had, like, a parent as a trucker, right. So they were never home. You knew that you could call them. They'd be there emotionally for you. That can lead to an attachment style when it comes to the physical aspect of life. When it comes to how hard you cling on to somebody, because if you physically see them in person, they're there. You want them there. Okay. So then say that you have a parent that's always home, but doesn't give you any emotional support. You're going to try to find the ones that give you the emotional support. Now, when it comes to your attachment issues and when they scream at you, if they're screaming at you and you have that anxiety, your body is straight up telling you that they are probably going to treat you in similar ways as what you have already dealt with. And guess what you're going to start doing? You're going to start chasing the person that didn't give you enough physical attention. You're going to start chasing the person that didn't give you enough emotional attention. I mean, you can even throw finances in there too. Say that they were around mentally, they were around physically and emotionally, but they didn't have money.
Yeah.
You're still missing that part of you. Say that you have a shit ton of money, but they weren't around emotionally and physically.
And you're, it's a double-edged sword. Ouch.
It is. So it's a work-life balance thing. And that's why when it comes down to if you have kids, and I still struggle with this, hell, it's been one hell of a roller coaster recently. When it comes to your kids, there's always going to be things that they deal with and different attachment issues, but it's how aware you are of those situations that you can also help them through those situations and try to help them understand a little bit more. When they're super little, they're not going to understand as much. But once they get older and they start understanding these things and they're willing to listen to you about it,
that's when you
can start to teach them. It's also up to you as a parent.
An example.
As difficult as it is at certain times, is to have some form of work-life balance. And when I talk work-life balance, I'm talking work is your actual job, your housework, your cooking, your cleaning, doing the dishes, all of that. All that shit goes under work. Your life balance is quality time with the kids, spending time with the family, doing things. I mean, shit, it doesn't need to cost nothing. Y'all can go to the park and spend some time and play tag around, fucking running around the park.
Exactly.
Things like that. Stuff that will still give them all forms of different kind of attention, so then they still feel loved and cared about in different ways, and they don't feel like there's a void in them. Because when it comes to that void, when it comes to one of those things missing, is that if they start to get into the relationships of, say that they're used to all money, okay, and then they meet somebody that's all money, so there's going to be an attachment issue to that person because that's what they got growing up. Say that they wanted and they were looking for that emotional attention. They're still going to chase a person with money because at home, they didn't get that emotional attention. Now that they're not getting it, now they're going to chase it.
Right.
And then it goes into the avoidant attachment style. This is, I feel like, what a lot of people deal with. And again, I've dealt with this. Not going to lie. So somebody starts giving you the attention that you've constantly always craved your entire life. Somebody gives that to you because you're not used to it. You fucking book it. You book it because that's the avoidant attachment in you that's telling you to fucking run when you shouldn't be running, when there's nothing wrong, when there's nothing bad. Your attachment. You gotta look at those. I feel like a lot of people should be researching those when it comes to your self-confidence, when it comes to your self-worth, when it comes to understanding why you consistently go to toxic relationships versus healthy ones. You run from healthy because it seems boring and you don't get those same feelings that you got with the toxic ones.
But the toxic one feelings are just that. It's your body's natural way. That's not a good feeling. I hate that. And when people are like, I want the butterflies. That's not butterflies. Just like they taught you as a little girl that the ones that are mean to you are like you. Nah! Nope. No. If they're mean to you, they do not like you. That is not how that works.
And if you're teaching children to be mean to the people they like, please go away.
Shame on you, and I don't. Please. I hope you stub your toe for the rest of your fucking life.
I hope you step on a fucking Lego.
Every morning. Until you're like 59.
Until you can't walk no more. You stepped on so many Legos you can't even walk anymore. Bottom of your rear foot pretty much just looks like a fucking Lego.
Exactly. Like a Lego table with little spricky thingies.
Yeah. So every time you step, you just got like this little tiny nub coming off the bottom of your foot.
Bastards.
You can make
some deep-seated hate for you fuckers. Sorry, I'm calling you fuckers. I'm sure you guys have names, but there's so many of you guys, you're vaguely put in a fucking group. I don't like you guys.
Yeah, no. If you're teaching your kids to be mean to the people they like, then I don't even want to associate
with you. I will teach my children to fuck up your kids. And I don't want to be like that, but if you're going to mentally assault mine, then I'm going to teach mine to physically assault you.
Hashtag, you should probably work on yourself.
Yeah, that's not a good answer. You're like, don't teach your kids to beat up other kids. No. I was being sarcastic.
Mayhem, no, we do not promote violence over here.
Ever. It's never supposed to be the answer.
We do not promote violence. I am not a violent person.
Half the time when I'm talking about violence, I'm talking about, like, figuratively, verbally throat punch them. You know what I'm talking about.
You know very well what I like to do.
Yeah, I do.
See, I don't go after people. I don't yell at people. I don't hate on people.
Which one can argue your tactics are 10 times more cruel than physical because you just leave them be. You don't talk to them.
It's not even just that I don't talk to them. I mean, sometimes, yeah, that's because I have the mentality of I'm pretty good at telling who's going to fuck with me and who's not going to fuck with me, who's actually going to get something out of this and who I'm just wasting my time. I question them. If you're going to sit there and be like, you're a fucking bitch, I'm going to be like, why do you think that? I'm just going to keep asking you why. I'm like a fucking 7-year-old. Why? Why? Why do you think that? Like, I'm going to make you break down what you're thinking to a point where then you're second guessing yourself. And I ain't even doing nothing.
She's really good at it, too. She's a fucking brain ninja.
Psychology.
She's a black belt brain ninja.
Psychology.
Other than a therapist.
I ain't even a therapist, though. Life coach.
Well,
life coach.
Life coach? Yeah, okay, fine. You're a life coach. You have helped me more than the person I actually pay to do this with. So,
so I'll give you advice, but I ask you a lot of questions. And I make you question yourself, which then is still in turn making you do the work. I'm just sitting here listening.
Which can be helpful, only because I'm the type of person where I ask a lot of questions. You make me think. Questions.
Honestly, it's the biggest help from what I have seen. Somebody comes out and tells you their story. And I've had this numerous times. Someone comes out and tells you their story. I give advice, kind of like give the input of, do you know what the 5 love languages are? Things like that. Otherwise, like people that have dealt with
like a beginner guide.
Yeah. People that have dealt with smear campaigns where they get very hurt by it. Yes, it sucks. And I completely understand. And your feelings are 100% valid. I'd fucking hate it too. But at the same time, if you ain't ever going to see these people, why do you care?
That, because it's human.
And that's where I start. So if you're going through something else or you're in a emotionally or mentally abusive relationship, you're sitting there telling me about it. Why do you stay? Those are the first 2 main questions. There's always a why. We'll keep talking. I'll give you a little bit of advice here and there. Then the next question comes out. Why?
Half the time, the answer is I don't know from the receiving party.
Yes. But then I'm going to go at it in a different way. And I'll come up with a different question. We'll talk about it in a different way. I will still come back to the same question. Why? Why?
Which will frustrate.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody. And I'm always saying it's because you've never frustrated me. But, like, I can imagine, like,
oh, I definitely have.
Is it fun? I got a question for you. You know, because, like, you did it with me. Was it fun watching my lights turn on? Like, was it fun witnessing me have that, like, moment?
It does. It makes me sad to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Because I can see a lot of different traumas without you telling me. Yeah. I don't need to know the specifics, but I can see that you've been through a lot, which is why I'm here helping. It's what I do. It's what I like to do. I don't make money off of this. I do this for free, guys. Like, I do this because I want to help. You can tell a lot. So you can tell I've sat there even with fucking trolls in the comment section.
Yeah.
I like questioning them. I've sat there. I've had some sit there and they're just like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like they just keep going off in circles, like women haters, men haters. And I'm just like, I don't know why you guys think this way. I've sat there and had freaking conversations about competitions. And this is probably going to be something that some people don't fucking like to hear. But let me tell you once again, I'm pretty sure I probably said this in one of the other 2 podcasts that we already have. Men and women have the same problems. They're just different situations. Same problems, different situations. I don't give a shit. See, and normally when I say something like that, they're just like, oh, women have it worse. Oh, men have it worse. I don't give a fuck about the numbers. It's the fact that it still happens on both sides. That's the fucking problem. People these days get too caught up in the mentality of, my problems are worse than yours. My problems are bigger than yours. We have more of this problem. I don't give a fuck.
Because if everybody just took a little bit more time to sympathize with another person's emotions, you would find that the world would be a much more bitter, peaceful place.
The problem is, there is a fucking problem.
Yes.
It's not the competition. I've sat there. I know multiple guys that have dealt with eating disorders. I know multiple guys that have been sexually assaulted. I know multiple guys that have been beaten physically by a woman, but will not put their hands on them.
Yep.
I know women. That deal with eating disorders. I know women that sat there, been in the emotionally, mentally, physically abusive relationships. I know women that won't fucking leave. I know men that won't. There is still a problem on both sides. And the ones that are the abusive ones, I don't fucking like. And once again, you should probably fucking work on yourself. If your insecurities are leading you to be controlling, you need to focus on you. You need to work on what the fuck is going on inside your head and what the hell happened to you in your past that made you be that way. You need to look at your attachment issues. You need to look at your past relationships and see what you're bringing into your current ones.
Yeah, see that, and that's why I made the Facebook post I made yesterday, because a part of loving somebody is being able to identify when you become toxic and loving them enough to be able to let them go.
And the other thing that goes along with that, if anybody ever tells me that they're not toxic in one way or another, you're bullshitting me.
You lying. Because everybody's toxic.
Because I can be toxic. You can be toxic. It depends on who we're dealing with. The people that are not meant to be in our life, at some point we will become toxic too.
Well, yeah, because you're going to pick up the vibes that they're feeding you. So those are going to be toxic vibes because they're not really meant for you. So you're going to be radiating a vibe that isn't supposed to be coming from you. So it's going to be wrong.
Even as small as when it comes to communication skills and comprehension. Mm-hmm. So you and I can have the best communication skills in the world, but I guarantee there's people out here that might listen to this that will not fucking understand us.
Yeah, at all. Like, but then
there's, but then there's the people that it's going to hit a spot for them. It's going to help them. Yeah. And that's the thing, is the people that don't understand us aren't meant to be in our life. But that's the other problem that this world has. Those people that aren't meant to be in our lives, we are still fucking clinging to. We are still holding on to. So even when they walk away, then there comes in the super for topic toxic ones that try to guilt trip you to stay in their life. Whether they're holding, I'm going to kill myself if you leave. I'm going to do this if you leave. I'm going to do that if you leave.
Yeah.
You can't leave me or else I'm going to end up somewhere. That's not a good place.
No, it's not. Because if you reach that stage, if they're gaslighting you, you're already too deep. It's already too toxic. Period. And that's it. If they're gaslighting you and you can identify when they're gaslighting you, that's kind of hard to do. But if you guys need to, we can help you guys with that. I can, like, we can make a podcast where we just talk about ways to identify when somebody is gaslighting you. But if they are gaslighting you, it's already too thick. The mud's too deep, sweetheart. You're already drowning.
I will role play gaslighting if y'all need it.
Same. Me and Miss Foot will just light each other up, dude. It is so bad and such a toxic tick for people that are mentally broken. And it's toxic in the degree of everybody does it. Even if you don't mean to do it, you subconsciously gaslight other people. If you feel like
the comments
suck, we covered that in episode 2. They suck. And the reason why they suck is because that's all they are. You have no proof or heavy arguments to condone how you're expressing your emotions to your other person. So you're going to gaslight them, get them to overlook the fact of what you already did. They're gaslighting you. They're taking your focus off of what they did onto something else. For a moment, maybe you won't bring it back up again. They're gaslighting you into being the problem. The only way that you can identify and make it through somebody gaslighting you is by giving them no reaction at all.
So we'll still give an example. We won't go too far into it. We can give a couple different examples. We'll go also back to podcast number 2, where we were talking about, hey, Sammy, come outside and smoke a cigarette with me.
Yeah.
So if I were to ask you that, you didn't want to go outside, what would you say?
You'd be like, no, I don't want to go outside. It's cold.
Then I could either sit there and beg, be like, oh, come on, please, until you feel bad. So pretty much coerce you into coming outside with me. Yeah. Or I can be like, oh my gosh, you never fucking spend any time with me. Why are you such a bitch?
Yeah, that's gaslighting. Me into getting up off the couch and feeling bad to come and hang out with you. That is a wonderful example of gaslighting.
And then if they want to continue it, they will continue it to make you second guess yourself on if you're really a bitch, if you're acting out of character, if you're doing something fucking terrible.
Which is a normal
terrible
human emotion. You're supposed to react that way. When somebody comes at your character, you, a good human being with a decent, you know, working brain, is going to sit there and be like, oh, am I like that? And you start to pick yourself mentally and your physical appearance, because at that point it'd be like, well, I'm too small. I need to gain weight. It's cold outside. Like, that's how your brain works. It's like a spider web. She shoots a gaslight at you, and because you're already kind of mentally broken, your spider web kind of just catches it, and it sends off a whole bunch of sensors all over the place. So your reaction is just that. Spider web back. Gaslighting.
Right.
So and bad.
So now, if you are not mentally in a good place, you're going to question yourself. Once you start to get to know what gaslighting really looks like and how it happens, the more you'll start to see when people do it.
The reason why I brought the gaslighting up, because in that, I can take your man if I want to, fucking, that's what that is. Gaslight. From a friend.
Making the other person feel crazy. Well, then if something like that gets brought up and you're not necessarily being insecure about it, but like, you get that message. The gaslighting mainly comes in is if you bring it up to the other person and they sit there and tell you that you're just being insecure or crazy, even though you have the messages to prove otherwise, they should be more supportive and understanding, because obviously you got this message. Obviously it upset you. Your feelings are valid. They're going to sit there and be like, no, you're just being insecure. Just ignore them. It ain't going to fucking help nothing.
Nope. It's not. It's going to make it worse.
Going back.
She said.
Hold on. Going back. We talked about if you're not mentally there, what your brain is going to think when it comes to gaslighting. And you are more self-aware of what gaslighting looks like, how it tends to be, different ways to do it, which is why we said that we'll do role plays to give you different ideas of how gaslighting is, if that is something that you guys want. Sammy, if I were to sit there and be like, oh, why are you acting like such a bitch? Why are you being like this? Why won't you come outside with me? You're in a more mental, you have more clarity, you're more self-aware of what gaslighting looks like. What do you think your response would be at that point?
I still wouldn't leave. I still wouldn't get off the couch. I'd be like, yeah, it's okay though, because I'm going to get cold. I'm going to be secure in the aspect of my reasonings on why I want to stay where I'm at.
So another way that you can always put it when someone tries to gaslight you in that manner, I can be lazy as fuck. Yeah, I don't want to go out, but that doesn't make me a bitch because I don't want to go out there with you.
Yeah, exactly. You stand up for yourself. You're like, no, you're wrong, dude. I'm not a bitch. It's just as simple as it is. It doesn't have to be complex. It can just be like, yeah, no, I'm not. Go about your business.
Even if you just want to be lazy as fuck, say that it's during the summer and you just don't want to come outside with me.
I'm that person. I do, like, I'm an active person too, though. So it's like, I don't know, that is a good scenario. It's because I'm a touch and go person when it comes to physical activity. Just sometimes I would want to stay on the couch, but sometimes you might be able to talk me into coming outside with you. So it all depends.
There's different ways where
if you're coming from a negative place, chances of me still sitting on that couch is going to be great, because if you're going to negatively try to influence me to do something, I don't want it.
If you're sitting there telling me that I'm being a bitch, or I'm being insecure because I bring up a worry, you got a problem.
Which only intensifies the worry, I add. If you're going to tell me I'm insecure or jealous over something I just questioned, then that gives me every answer I need without you even telling me. The fact that you don't care that it hurt me is what it is.
Red flag.
Red flag! This ain't build a bitch. Get what you get, you don't throw a fit.
This ain't build a bitch. Listen, the only bitches who be building, the ones that are building themselves.
Yeah, those are my point. Like, if you're, I don't know, I'm to that point where I can identify red flags some of the time.
Here's the thing. The more secure you becoming yourself, less people will be able to manipulate you, the less likely you'll end up in those toxic relationships.
Think about that. I feel that in my soul.
If you continuously end up in toxic relationships, you need to stop asking why you keep picking shitty, or you need to stop blaming why there's so many shitty men, or why there's so many shitty women. You gotta start asking yourself why you keep finding these shitty-ass people.
It could just very simply be that you're just used to those types of people.
Which means... Wanna say it for me?
Drum roll. What was it? Fuck. I just fucked it up. Attachment. What was it?
That was my lovely saying that I tell everybody.
Oh,
so, if you keep choosing shitty people, stop asking why there's so many shitty people in the world.
Why are you with them?
You need to start asking yourself why you keep choosing shitty people.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I was close.
So, hashtag, you should probably work on yourself.
Work on yourself.
I still need the sweatshirt that says that.
Dude, no, seriously, we need to make it happen, because I can tell you right now, as somebody that wears a Shut Up Karen face mask for fun, I want the You Should Probably Work On Yourself hoodie to go with my Shut Up Karen face mask.
I was going to say You Should Probably Work On Yourself, and then underneath, it's going to say if this offends you, read again.
And we can put you mad, bro, you should be on the back.
So you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do after?
Walk away. Checkmate. Reassurance, trump card, goodbye.
After this podcast, after we're done making it, we're going to work on that. I got my website that I'll throw it up on. But guess what? When we release this podcast, go check the links, because it's going to be in there.
There you go.
I
want to see them. If you guys order them, I want to see your eye. You should probably work on yourself. Triumphs. I want to see your you mad bro, you should be triumphs.
You guys go with those sweatshirts. Post a video that says hashtag you should probably work on yourself and hashtag you mad bro, you shouldn't be.
I want to see them. I want to see the change, because me and you, I can tell you right now, we're a positive change, guys. for the ones that are going to be sitting and hating in the background, you guys are only hating because you know we're about to crumble your foundation of disloyalty and dishonesty. I'm going to help you guys gear up for war against these SWAT waffles. And then we're going to, like, parade our badassness to everybody. Because it doesn't matter what you're doing in your life, you deserve to be happy.
And here's the other thing about those sweatshirts that will be fucking lovely thing. One, you'll know the people that understand because they'll be all fucking hyped up and for it. You'll know the people that don't because they're going to ask questions. You're going to know the trolls from the trues because you're either going to get the people that are going to question it and ask questions and be open-minded about it, or they're going to instantly fucking hate on it.
Oh yeah, because those two sayings, mad bro you should be, and you should probably work on yourself, I can tell you will only trigger one or two types of reactions. They're either going to be completely with it, or they're going to be completely against it.
Don't fuck with the ones that are against it.
Oh, don't hate. It pays our bills.
It's going to be a red flag in itself. I want to point out how all the red flags start wearing that shirt around. See who hates.
Oh, dude, no. That's what I mean by I want to see your, you should probably work on yourself triumphs. From now on in your everyday life, if you find yourself in a situation and you don't feel comfortable enough to tell the other person that you think they're the issue, go get your fucking hoodie, put it on, take your hoodie strings, draw the string closed, I don't care if you tie it in a bow over your face, and just point at your fucking hoodie and make sure they hit the back and go about your day. If you are not confident enough to do it, let me and Misfit do it for you, dude. And just get it through. Put it as a label. It can be your name tag. You should probably work on yourself.
Sammy, we're going to end up making a video, so anybody who listens to us, and I are going to end up making a video of exactly what they need to do if they are in that uncomfortable situation. So we know who's seen it and who hasn't. So if you end up listening to this, you hear this, my sweatshirt will be out the same day as this podcast. I'll make sure of that one. When you guys are listening to this or after, that will be up in our links for that sweatshirt. Especially, I'll do my best to try to make sure it's at the top so y'all see it.
Yeah.
But we'll also make a video to post. So if any of y'all ever feel like you are in an uncomfortable situation and you feel like somebody needs to hear that you should probably work on yourself, so something's going on and they need to hold accountability for themselves. We'll put it at that. They need to hold accountability and you feel uncomfortable telling them that, go get that sweatshirt. We'll show you what you got to do. We want you guys to comment on that video. We want them to comment exactly so we know that you listen to this podcast.
That's a good one. What's going to be our context clues for all the ones that don't listen to the podcast and miss out on? We're going to do this. That's a good. It's got to be simple and it can't be too obvious. Because, like, if you go to a bar and someone makes you uncomfortable, you can order a drink discreetly to let the bartender know that you're uncomfortable. So that's kind of what I'm going for. Like, code word, if you will.
Reese's and ice cream?
She's like, ice cream. Reese's and ice cream? Snack time. Codename snack time.
Codename snack time, yes!
Codename snack time. Because that sounds super nice. It doesn't sound like it, you're calling it a SWAT team. Reality, you kind of are. But codename snack time can be your move to let somebody know that they're doing something to you that you think is gaslighting or projecting, or if you even just feel insecure. You should probably work on yourself. Just put the hoodie on. Just go in your shell.
When we put this podcast out, be watching out for that video. Be watching out for the sweatshirt.
The video's going to be fun to make.
Right. I'll be excited. Oh, man. It's going to have to be a little bit. We're going to have to wait for our sweatshirts to come in. As soon as we get our sweatshirts, we'll put a video out there. So definitely keep your eye out on our pages for that video. If you have listened to this, put in the comment section, snack time. Hashtag snack time.
Yeah, I want to see the snack times. I want to see who actually pays attention to our podcast. Social experiment. Only the cool kids will know what we're talking about. Okay, guys? Let's get real.
Yeah, because all y'all are willing to work on yourselves over here, so.
My point. So if you have that hoodie, that means you're in process of becoming a better person.
Yep.
It's your label to the next step. Let that... I know, I'm so excited for those. Only because I want to see the Trump cards. I want to see you punk people with those t-shirts and those sweatshirts. You should probably work on yourself because you mad, bro? You should be.
I don't know how many times I sit there in a week and tell people, you should probably work on yourself.
That's why you mad, bro? You should be, and you should probably work on yourself go so perfectly together because they're different ends of the spectrum. Where you should probably work on yourself, it complements each other nicely because it's a confident, understanding movement.
And it's always a statement that is true at the same time, because all of us can 100% work on ourselves. There's always something in our lives that you will have to work on. So once you start a healing journey, your healing journey is never over. If you have the mentality that at some point it's over, it's not, because there is something in your life that is going to happen you will need to heal from.
Oh, for sure, dude.
But while you are on your healing journey and once you get so far through it, you will learn ways to cope, deal with it in a healthy way versus not dealing with it, pushing it down, and having it continuously come up. So here's what I am going to end on for today, is that once you start your healing journey, or whether you are in the process of thinking about starting it, but you're not exactly sure, or otherwise, even if you've started it, but you're backtracking. A couple things when it comes to healing and when it comes to your past and the very uncomfortable situations that you have been through that you have to deal with, that you have to go through to fix yourself. You can either be uncomfortable for a little while you go through the process of being able to move forward from it, but you can stay uncomfortable through the rest of your life. Just depends on when it's going to show up.
That's a good thing to end on. I like it. I'm going to keep it.
All right, guys. So we will be making our next one on Friday. It's going to be, I know this week's a little off, but we will be doing every Friday, and they will be being put out. The new one will also be put out on Friday. I hope y'all have a great rest of your day, night, whatever it may be when you are listening to this. Love ya. You and you, keep working on yourself.
Bye, guys!